right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How are you? It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday is coming up. And all of the regular Friday features, you big dummy, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and more. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. There you go. So it is, it's Friday, and it's you guys are going to think it's Thursday because our guest right now joins us every other Thursday to talk television, but it is indeed Friday. And the reason why Dan is on with us on a Friday morning instead of a Thursday morning is because yesterday morning, Thursday, they announced the Emmy nominations for this year, and we wanted to get Dan's thoughts on it, and as well as talking about all kinds of other TV. We always have a great time when he's here. Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N, The Fine Print. And we're going to talk about the Emmy nominations in detail and then a bunch of other stuff as Dan joins us. And let's welcome Dan back to the show. Hello, Dan.
How are you doing, Nick?
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. You have me a little bit confused on what day of the week it is now, but I was okay before. Now I'm a bit flummoxed, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. I think it'll be okay. I know that you have thoughts on the Emmy nominations. I read the piece that is the little lively conversation between you and your partner there on Hollywood Reporter. And tell everybody about that piece there.
Tim Goodman and I, Tim is my fellow TV critic at THR, and we went back and forth discussing the highs and lows of the Emmy nominations that were announced on Thursday morning, which mostly meant a lot of ranting about the Americans not getting nominated and about Barb from Stranger Things getting nominated.
Right. And that's just some of the issues that come to mind with some of the nominees. There are certainly good things. I think the strong showing for The Handmaid's Tale is great and justified. There were a couple of surprise nominations here and there that I was happy about. We're going to go through them so we can get your thoughts as we go through them. Let me start with obviously the big one. We'll start with a dramatic drama. Let's see. You've got Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, House of Cards, This Is Us, Stranger Things, and Westworld. Obviously, The Americans should have been in there, but isn't.
That's one of the big things, because last year we were so proud of the Emmy voters for actually getting their minds around how good The Americans is. And we're like, yay, you finally recognized it. Way to go, guys. And then they backslid. They went the other way. And there was just too much shiny and new this year. If you look at those HBO and Netflix shows that forced their way in, as well as Handmaid's Tale, there was just apparently no denying them. And then apparently there was also no stopping Emmy voters from nominating House of Cards again.
Yeah. And I realized that because I read the piece of you about you and Tim discussing it. And I know you have no love lost for House of Cards.
I am not a fan of House of Cards, and even when I was at my most fanny about House of Cards, I thought it was a decent kind of trashy but still kind of gripping and fun TV show. I don't find it very gripping anymore. I find it mostly fun in terms of how outlandish and often kind of stupid it is. And so, yeah, I can't understand that anymore. And all of the additional nominations it gets, I mean, it's not just series, and it's not just even Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright. It's Michael Kelly, who was so good for a couple seasons but hasn't done anything for a long time. It's so many of those things. It's the complacency of it that bothers me.
What's the chance of Handmaid's Tale winning here?
I would say reasonably high. Like, look, if you were to sort of put me under the gun, I would say that has a very good chance because obviously it has a lot of across the board support, which I wasn't sure on. But This Is Us has a huge amount of support,
right,
and it's the popular choice. And the idea that Emmy voters could give drama series to a network series, to a broadcast series, would be pretty impressive and pretty recently unprecedented. But then Westworld has a ridiculous number of nominations. And then if you go back to the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Producers Guild Awards back in January, Stranger Things won both of those.
Right.
So I could easily see four different shows in this category winning fairly easily. And the funny thing is, if I had a vote myself for these shows, I might just vote for Better Call Saul, and right. I don't think it has a chance to win.
Right, right. Comedy series, Atlanta, Black-ish, Master of None, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep. I'm thrilled with a couple of these. That would be Master of None, and especially Atlanta. I'm thrilled about that.
I think it's not a bad category. It's a lot like last year. Basically, they swapped Atlanta in for Transparency, and whether that was the show in the category that deserved to be swapped out, well, you know, that Modern Family slot apparently is there until Modern Family goes off the air, and there really was a period where I liked Modern Family a pretty fair amount. And I don't know why I'm watching it anymore, and yet I do watch it every week. And I don't know that there was a good episode this season, and like not even one. It was a dreadful season, and yeah, I'm kind of baffled by that, except for, again, complacency.
Right, yeah. It doesn't have a chance here, does it?
Oh, I think it definitely has a chance.
Oh, it does, okay.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Veep has won the past 2 years, and certainly, I would say Veep is the favorite because it's won the last 2 years and it had another great season. There's no reason at this point to denigrate Veep. Veep is a great show. I think, on the other hand, if you look at the support that Atlanta got, it's another one where it could have just gotten one or two nominations, but you have Donald Glover getting nominated for actor, for writing and directing. That's some impressive support for that show.
Yeah,
I can definitely imagine it winning. I would still, if I, again, had to put money on it, I would still put money on Veep, but you can't win much money betting on the two-time champ.
Right, right. Best limited series, Big Little Lies, Fargo, Feud, Betty and Joan, Genius, and The Night Of. A really good category here.
It absolutely is, and it reflects where television is going as an industry at this point. It's easy to get stars like your Reese Witherspoons, your Nicole Kidmans, your Jessica Langs, and your Susan Sarandons if you only make them do 8 to 10 episodes of TV. And so audiences benefit and the actors benefit because they get awards and all that. And you get a strong category. And so you have those two shows, and then you have Fargo, which is just its own thing. And then the sort of the kind of strange show in that category, I guess, would be Genius.
Yeah.
But got an Oscar winner as a star in Jeffrey Rush. It's got an Oscar winning director who was nominated for an Emmy here for Ron Howard. And you know, it's Albert Einstein. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That one's not going to win.
Which one do you think is going to win? I mean, obviously, if I had to pick, and it's tough because I liked everything. I haven't seen Genius, but I liked everything else. But I would have to go Fargo in this.
But Fargo would be my vote. I would bet on Big Little Lies. I think that is the one that has the mixture of star power, HBO behind it, and feeling a little bit shiny and new. Because, you know, if Fargo wins, it's Fargo winning again, and it's not the same. Whereas Big Little Lies, I think, has freshness to it. So that would be my guess, but my own vote would be Fargo without any question.
Yeah, okay. And your, let's see, television movie, Black Mirror, Dolly Parton's Christmas of Many Colors, Circle of Love, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, Sherlock, The Lying Detective, and The Wizard of Lies. I mean, this has got to go to...
Isn't it funny the way one of those categories is really, really strong, and the other one will make room for the Dolly Parton movie? Yeah, it sure feels like Wizard of Lies has this one rather easily in hand, I would guess.
Yeah, yeah. Best Variety Talk Series, Full Frontal, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, The Late Late Show with James Corden. How the hell did that get nominated? The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and Real Time with Bill Maher. Is it like people like to watch him sing in a car? Is that why it got nominated?
I think that's a lot of it. I think that's probably the best guess. And also, I don't know, there is an Emmy voter problem with recognizing, if I'm being frank, of recognizing what Trevor Noah and Daily Show
yeah.
are doing. They were able to recognize that Colbert got better this past year, and they were able to bring him back into the fold, and they wanted to punish Jimmy Fallon, and by all means,
right.
go right ahead. But I wonder if at any point Emmy voters are going to wake up and realize how good what Trevor Noah is doing.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you, Dan. I think Trevor Noah is doing a bang up job on that show. I really do.
I think it is such a relevant show, and also I've always from the very beginning said that it was a great show for two segments, and then the guests were disappointing because Noah wasn't a good interviewer. He's becoming a better interviewer, and the guests he has on that show are guests who aren't on any other show.
Yep.
And
yep.
He's getting a range of people whose voices aren't being heard, and the Emmy voters have somehow fallen behind the curve on this one.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. I think it's a fun show. He doesn't do a whole lot of politics on it, but I really like Kimmel. I think he's likable and funny. Has he been nominated in this before?
Yeah, he's regularly nominated.
He's regularly
also,
nominated.
You know, he had the thing with his child, and that was
right.
a huge moment, and yet that he handled powerfully and significantly, and they like him, and he hosted the show last year. It went over very well. And he is popular. It was always to be nominated. The Corden thing, I don't know, that people like the karaoke, and as for Bill Maher and the fact that Jimmy Fallon basically is kicked out of the category for ruffling Donald Trump's hair,
yeah,
and Bill Maher gets away with what Bill Maher gets away with. It says strange things about the voters, but so it goes. They got Samantha Bee into the category, which was the important thing.
Right. Okay. All right. We got to take a break. Okay, Dan?
Sure.
All right. We got a lot more to talk about. Dan Feinberg is here. It is, yes, indeed. It's a Friday. It's not a Thursday. But we wanted to get Dan's reaction to the Emmy nominations were announced about 18 hours ago. And we want to get his thoughts on that. And we've got much more to talk about, but we have to break here for the news on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this morning at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Fly Jams Friday coming up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spy and You Big Dummy. All of our regular Friday features will be following. But right now we are always happy to have Dan Feinberg on the show. He is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. The Emmy nominations were announced yesterday, and of course we wanted to get Dan's thoughts on that. We're going through the categories. We also have some other TV stuff that we want to talk about. A little bit later on, but let's welcome Dan back to the show. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you much.
All right. Let's get to this one. Best actress in a drama series. I think you already know who I'm rooting for here. See, Claire Foy for The Crown, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale, Robin Wright for House of Cards, Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder, Kerry Russell for The Americans, and Evan Rachel Wood for Westworld. I'm obviously...
Do you have an audio clip that you would like to?
Well, but the thing is, I'm not rooting for her.
Oh.
But I'll do it anyway. If you insist.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Nick's radio show.
If you insist, I am,
Hi, I'm Kerry Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
I know she does, but I'm rooting for Elizabeth Moss. what does Elizabeth Moss, is she the favorite here? I would hope.
I would say that she is the favorite. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the category, my annoyance is the absence of Carrie Coon from The Leftovers. That is my point of frustration.
Right.
I think that Elizabeth Moss is both the favorite and probably a prohibitive favorite. I think that she's basically due. I mean, she's also spectacular, but this is kind of her moment. She deserves this. It's a coronation for her that has been a long time coming. I think if you look at the other people in the category, to me, Evan Rachel Wood really was supposed to be in the supporting category.
Yeah.
I think it's, but whatever. Kerry Russell's spectacular on The Americans, and it would be sad if the show were to end without her winning. But here we are. And Claire Foy is great on The Crown, which is this massive piece where acting could get lost, and she never does. And also, I mean, for all of the degree to which I dislike House of Cards, Robin Wright is the person I dislike the least in House of Cards, and she had an arc this season that gave her things to do, which no one else on the show did. But anyway, regardless of and Viola Davis is Viola Davis. This, you know, just say that. But yeah, I think it's Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moss. Why is this hard to say? It's Elizabeth Moss's moment. Those are the words.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think she's spectacular on that show, and I hope she wins it. Best actor in a drama series, Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, Anthony Hopkins for Westworld, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, Matthew Reeves for The Americans, Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan, Kevin Spacey for House of Cards, and Milo Ventimiglia for This Is Us. There's a glaring. Is it supporting? Is Michael McKean in the supporting category that he should have been, or this one?
It would be that he should have been in the supporting category, and he's not, and that is absolutely glaring and as big a mistake as there is in this year's group. This is a weird category because Anthony Hopkins is not.
No.
A lead in Westworld by any stretch of the
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And nor for all of his Anthony Hopkinsness, his Sir Anthony Hopkinsness, his Oscar winning glory, does he deserve to be nominated? It's just so anyway.
Yeah.
Milo Ventimiglia also could just as easily have been a supporting performance, and I'm not sure it deserves to be here. On the other hand, Sterling K. Brown is great in This Is Us and totally worthy. Bob Odenkirk had a great season on Better Call Saul. And I mean, to me, it should be Matthew Rhys. I think it's going to be Sterling K. Brown, and I won't be unhappy about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can let that happen. If I had a vote, it would be Matthew Rhys. Because once again, if all these performances from The Americans, the show's going to come to an end next year. If these performances don't win trophies, that's going to be a miss for the Emmys.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to actress in a comedy series, Pamela Adlon for Better Things, which makes me very happy. I didn't think she was going to get nominated. Jane Fonda for Grace and Frankie, Allison Janney for Mom, Ellie Kemper for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, and Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie. Surprised that Pamela Adlon got nominated, and I'm glad to see it. So,
yeah, absolutely, and that's a nice piece of recognition for the Emmy voters there, because obviously it was not a show where the support went all that deep. They could have nominated it in several other categories, and they didn't. Interesting that both of the Grace and Frankie actresses got in this time around, and the sort of the undercurrent interesting thing is the unbeatable Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but now facing Allison Janney, they have the same number of Emmys, the two of them, so is this going to be a tiebreaker? You don't bet against Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but I wonder if I don't know who the spoiler is here. Tracy Ellis Ross won the Golden Globe, and she's great.
Yeah, I don't
know, but who would bet against Julia Louis-Dreyfus? What would you gain from that?
Right. You're right. Best actor in a comedy series, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Aziz Ansari for Master of None. Again, very happy to see that. Zach Galifianakis for Baskets. Was he nominated last year?
He was not first time for
this
him.
Is his first. Oh, good.
First time in this for Baskets. I believe he was nominated for SNL.
Yeah,
hosting at some point.
Donald Glover for Atlanta, William H. Macy for Shameless, and Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. This is a good category right here.
It is, and I feel like probably Donald Glover versus Aziz Ansari, except that you don't want to bet against Jeffrey Tambor. So it's another one of those interesting categories where there are options, and very glad to see Zach Galifianakis get in there.
Yeah.
I think there was some first season feeling that they had to make sure that they recognized Louis Anderson, because they did, but he kind of sucked up all the energy in the awards room, and I'm glad they were able to look and see Zach Galifianakis there. Anthony Anderson had a great season on Blackish. So, lots of options.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Best Actress in Limited Series or Television Movie, Nicole Kidman, Big Little Lies. Jessica Lange, Feud. Susan Sarandon, Feud. Reese Witherspoon, Big Little Lies. Carrie Coon in Fargo. And Felicity Huffman for American Crime. Is this the battle of Jessica versus Susan here?
I would guess not. I would guess this is the battle of probably Jessica against Nicole would be my guess.
Ah.
That would be my hunch. Okay. Is that I think that Nicole gets more of the votes for Big Little Lies, and I think Jessica gets more of the votes for Feud, and then I don't know who wins. And so then that's how Carrie Coon sneaks in and wins. And I go, okay, well, this maybe wasn't what she should have won for, but go Carrie Coon. I don't, that's, what a ridiculous category.
Yeah.
You have those four actresses all with their Oscars. You have Felicity Huffman, who has at least been nominated for an Oscar and won Emmys. And then you have Carrie Coon, who should have been nominated for two Emmys this year, and at least she was nominated for one.
Right. Best Actor in a Limited TV in a Series or Television Movie, Riz Ahmed for The Night Of, Benedict Cumberbatch for Sherlock, The Lying Detective, Robert De Niro, The Wizard of Lies, Ewan McGregor for Fargo, Jeffrey Rush for Genius, John Turturro for The Night Of. Is that a lead performance, Turturro?
Oh, I think as much as Riz Ahmed's performance is, I think they're co-leads in that one. I think if they'd submitted him in supporting, you could have gone, okay, I understand why that is, but I think I can buy it. And if the show comes back for a second season, which they still haven't committed to, but they're still open to the possibility of it, I believe it will focus on the John Turturro character
right. Going
forward. So I think he's kind of the focus of the show to some degree, but I think if I were voting between the two of them, I would probably vote for Riz Ahmed,
who
also got a nomination that he very much deserved for Girls. So happy for him there. It's another really good category. I'm a little bored with Benedict Cumberbatch, but he's Benedict Cumberbatch. It's a good Robert De Niro performance. Did you watch Wizard of Oz?
Yes. And I liked it. I didn't love it. But I thought he was really good.
Oh, no. I didn't love it either. It's an above average HBO movie.
Yeah.
And HBO movies, as a rule, tend to be average.
Yeah.
So it's better than that.
Right.
It's a good category. And Ewan McGregor, American accent issues aside, was great in Fargo, especially in the second half of the season. So,
yeah,
you know, it's another really strong category.
Okay. Supporting actress in a drama series, Uzo Aduba for The Orange is the New Black, Millie Bobby Brown for Stranger Things, Anne Dowd for The Handmaid's Tale, Kritzi Metz for This Is Us, Tandy Newton for Westworld, and Samira Wiley for Handmaid's Tale. It's nice to see two, you know, women from Handmaid's Tale in this one.
It is, though. I think Samira Wiley deserved to be nominated for the third season of Orange is the New Black, which was the one that she was eligible for here. And I think that what Netflix has done with the release schedule of that show has really confused voters, and they don't know anymore who to vote for because they don't remember what season. And so they just go, okay, I know that Uzo Aduba is always kind of worthy, so she's fine.
But I
thought that Samira Wiley was great in the second half of the Handmaid's Tale season in particular. I thought Anne Dowd was great in the last couple Handmaid's Tale episodes when they sort of gave the character more to do.
Yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown is very impressive. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Kritzi Metz won. That would not shock me in the slightest.
Right.
And Tandy Newton, whatever reservations I had about Westworld, A, she should have been submitted as lead, and B, she was great. So,
all right.
Good category.
Okay. Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us, and we are going through the Oscars, the Emmy nominations. That's right, it's the Emmy nominations. And we'll go through some more of the categories, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the pilots that Dan has seen for the upcoming fall season. We'll take a break here on 720 WGN. More after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And, yeah, we're here till 5 a.m. And we're discussing the Emmys and the Emmy nominations with Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And we're going through the major categories here for the Emmys and talking about the nominations. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All of the Friday features are coming up. Let's welcome Dan back to the show. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, best supporting actor in a drama series. I realize that we don't want to talk about Michael McKean because you'll just get mad. So, Jonathan Banks for Better Call Saul, David Harbour for Stranger Things, Ron Cephas Jones for This Is Us, Michael Kelly for House of Cards, John Lithgow for The Crown, Mandy Patinkin for Homeland, and Jeffrey Wright for Westworld. Despite the glaring omission, what do you think of this category?
It's frustrating because if you particularly took out Michael Kelly, if you took out Michael McKelly and put in Mike McKean, already it's a great category. I feel like probably there are some people you could put in instead of Jonathan Banks, who was sometimes a little marginal on Better Call Saul this season. He had a great first half of the season, then kind of vanished.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people I'm really happy for in this category. John Lithgow's amazing as Winston Churchill. It's counterintuitive casting that somehow is wonderful and effective. David Harbour, great performance, and this is a guy who has been a character actor for a long time. One of those, hey, it's that guy, I never remember his name, and suddenly now everyone knows him, and totally deserved. Yeah. Ron Cephas Jones is frankly fairly comparable in the sense that he's been working for years, and you constantly see him in the background of things, but suddenly he gets this great role that he's amazing in. Jeffrey Wright is one of the Westworld actors who I don't quibble with being here. He's really good. So yeah, you look, there are three or four guys here who could easily deservingly win, and yet Michael McKean should be here and probably should be the favorite.
Right. Best actress, a supporting actress in a comedy series. One of them in particular makes me very happy, and that's Vanessa Bayer for Saturday Night Live, getting recognized finally in her final season, because I just think she's brilliant. Anna Chlumsky for Veep, Leslie Jones inexplicably for Saturday Night Live, Judith Light Transparent, Catherine Hahn Transparent, and Kate McKinnon Saturday Night Live. The Leslie Jones thing, I don't get it at all. There was barely a sketch that she was in where she didn't at least flub one line or break during the entire season. I just don't understand it.
And yet people love Jimmy Fallon for the same thing.
Yeah.
So there are weird rules for who people love and who people don't on SNL. And I like Leslie Jones. I don't know that I would have nominated her here. I think that the absence of Rita Moreno in the category for One Day at a Time, I think that's disgraceful. No, I think it's bad.
Well, I think the absence of One Day at a Time in general is not good, because I really thought that was a terrific show.
No, I'm with you. It got a nomination for editing or something utterly random.
Yeah.
But I would have definitely made room for Rita Moreno regardless of anything else, and probably there are a few other people. There's a lot of SNL here, and even though it was this big comeback year and all of that, I don't understand why there's quite so much SNL everywhere.
Yeah, I'm with you for that. I didn't think it was. I thought it was a good season, but not a great season. And I think just because more people were watching it because of the election. That's why it's got all this, all these nominations. But I'm just a huge fan of Vanessa Bayer in general, and I know she's not going to win because Kate McKinnon's probably going to win it.
I think she deserves.
Oh,
it.
I agree. Listen, Dan, I totally agree with you. She, as far as I'm concerned, she won it the Saturday after the election with the cold open.
And I suspect that will continue, and I suspect she will continue to. Between that and the Kellyanne Conway various things, I would guess she's pretty safe.
Oh yeah,
Best
supporting actor in a comedy series: Louis Anderson for Baskets, Alec Baldwin for Saturday Night Live. How is that not a guest performance?
Because And here's the deal. You'll notice that the actresses in the supporting category were all nominated in the various characters department. And that is because it was sort of for their weekly performances on the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he was nominated just for Trump.
I see.
Period.
No. Okay.
So that's what he's doing there, and I suspect probably for various reasons he's going to win.
Yeah.
And but if he beats Louis Anderson as great as Louis Anderson was on Baskets this year, it will make me unhappy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean Louis Anderson totally deserves it. I mean, it's especially this season, and the second season was extraordinary for him, and his character. Ty Burrell, Modern Family, Titus Burgess for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Tony Hale and Matt Walsh from Veep. But, you know, it's obviously between Louis Anderson and Alec Baldwin at this point, correct?
It feels like it is. People, again, I'm still behind on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I got the impression that people were very enthusiastic about Titus Burgess this year on Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Does that sound off to you?
No. He's great on it. He really is. He's very funny and very good on the show, but... Louis Anderson is just, for me, Louis Anderson is just so far ahead of everybody who's nominated here, you know?
No, I am with you. I wonder what it would take to get Tim Simons a nomination for Veep. It's strange to me that they're not going slightly deeper into the cast for nominations, especially with what Jonah did in this particular season. But, you know, I'm not going to quibble with Tony Hale and Matt Walsh all that much.
Right. Best Supporting Actress, Limited Series, Television, Movie, Laura Dern, Big Little Lies, Judy Davis, Feud, Jackie Hoffman, which I was really happy to see for Feud, Regina King, American Crime, Michelle Pfeiffer, The Wizard of Lies, and Shailene Woodley for Big Little Lies. Interesting category, good category.
It does feel like there are a lot of people doing kind of different things, and I was very happy for Jackie Hoffman because it's this cast of Oscar winners, all these huge names, and here's the actress who no one knows playing the character who no one knows, and she just was stealing scenes left and right the entire season.
Absolutely, so
glad to see her there. But if you look at this category, I mean, Shailene Woodley was a lead in Big Little Lies, and they just moved her to this category so that she could get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Dern is giving a great, more traditional supporting performance in Big Little Lies. And I wonder if Twin Peaks is going to give her sort of a ripple because everyone has loved every little thing she's done on Twin Peaks so much.
Right.
Regina King has won this category the past 2 years. So she's obviously impressive. And Michelle Pfeiffer is Michelle Pfeiffer and Judy Davis is Judy Davis.
Right.
And when it comes to the Emmys, Judy Davis is probably bigger than anyone else in this category. Judy Davis has like 30 Emmys in her closet. So it's a really good category. And it's another one of those categories that makes you appreciate how much the limited anthology series has helped actresses, honestly.
Right.
Just how good these roles are for actresses and how much, frankly, better they are than a lot of the roles that men were nominated for just because the fields are thinner.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to that. To speaking of that, Best Supporting Actor, Limited Series, Television, Movie, Bill Camp for The Night Of, Alfred Molina for Feud, Alexander Skarsgård for Big Little Lies, David Thewlis for Fargo, Stanley Tucci for Feud, Michael K. Williams for The Night Of. I think this is a good category. I'm really happy.
As I look at those names, I do take it back to some degree what I said.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely the lead actress category is better than the lead actor category, but this is a good field. I'm no quibbles here, and I feel like Molina looks like he has it, but we'll see.
I pretty much liked everybody in this category, but I'm pulling for Molina. I'd love to see Thewlis win it too, because he was just so amazingly creepy in Fargo. So,
and I'm happy to see Michael Kenneth Williams get a nomination. He probably should have gotten two or three for The Wire over the years.
Bill
Camp is one of those great kind of late in career breakout kind of performances things where guy's been working for decades, and nice to see him here. You know, Stanley Tucci, Choose the Scenery, and feels every moment he's in, and boy, that was one wonderfully grotesque performance that David Thewlis gave in Fargo in the best way possible.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go through the guest actress and actor. Guest actress drama series, Allison Wright for The Americans. Alexis Bledel, I thought she was a regular cast member, but that's fine with me for her getting a nomination. Cicely Tyson for How to Get Away with Murder, Ann Dowd for The Leftovers, Laverne Cox for Orange is the New Black, and Shannon Purser for Stranger Things, which is ridiculous.
Utterly
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I can't even put words into how absurd it is that the TV Academy allowed themselves to be bullied into an Emmy nomination by an internet meme. It is so comical.
Yeah.
And this is a category that the Emmy voters always do dumb things in. Like, they always do something like nominate Ellen Burstyn for 28 seconds of screen time.
Right.
But that still makes more sense than nominating Shannon Purser, who is not bad in any way, but is in no way giving a performance that is an Emmy-worthy performance.
Yeah.
I mean, good gracious.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I'm rooting for Alexis Bledel here, obviously, because I just think she's great in it, in Handmaid's Tale.
The thing is, it feels like Ann Dowd's time in The Leftovers this season is so minimal that it feels like exactly the same kind of win for her that Margot Martindale has
right.
done the past 2 years.
Yeah, right.
And so I can totally imagine her winning, and that would be the strange one Emmy that The Leftovers won in its series run. That
right.
would be fittingly yeah. Emmy absurd.
Guest actor, drama series, Ben Mendelsohn for Bloodline, B.D. Wong, Mr. Robot, Hank Azaria, Ray Donovan, Dennis O'Hara, This Is Us, Brian Tyree Henry for This Is Us, Gerald McCraney for This Is Us. Bunch of This Is Us in there.
Bunch of This Is Us. Gerald McCraney, who turns 70 later this summer, I was told earlier today, has never been nominated for an Emmy before.
Is that right? He's never been nominated?
He is freaking TV legend, Gerald McCraney.
Wow.
Never nominated for an Emmy before. So good on This Is Us. Boy, I am rooting hard for Gerald McCraney.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And then best guest actress comedy series, Becky Ann Baker for Girls, Angela Bassett for Master of None, Melissa McCarthy, Saturday Night Live, Carrie Fisher, Catastrophe, Wanda Sykes, Blackish, and Kristen Wiig, Saturday Night Live. Is it going to go to Carrie Fisher?
I mean, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity, and it was a great performance in that one episode. It was the only thing she did all season, and she made the most of every second that she's in it. And if Melissa McCarthy wins instead because she played Sean Spicer, that would make me, frankly, a little sad.
Yeah.
But, I would expect it comes down to Melissa McCarthy and Carrie Fisher, and we'll see.
And then real quick before we break, guest actor in a comedy series, Riz Ahmed for Girls, Matthew Reese for Girls, Dave Chappelle for Saturday Night Live, Lin-Manuel Miranda for Saturday Night Live, Tom Hanks for Saturday Night Live, and Hugh Laurie for Veep. Tom Hanks, did he get this because of David S. Pumpkins or because of Doug on Black Jeopardy?
That was such a good episode for him.
It was.
I can feel no badness about that at all. I kind of hope that Matthew Reese wins because that was a great episode of Girls.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hang on, okay, Dan?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us. We got a break for the news. When we come back, we'll get into some general TV talk and talk about some of the pilots that Dan has seen for the upcoming fall season. We'll take a break right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday morning. How are you? Fly Jams Friday. We'll be up and running, and we've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all the regular Friday features and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Pete McMurray in 4. Steve Cochran at 6. Dan Feinberg is with us. He's the TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. Always great to talk to Dan. We just went through all the major categories for the Emmys. And now, Dan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about Take Me to the Pilots. This is a thing that you do every season, correct?
Indeed. I think I've been doing it now for
8 or 9 years. There was one year that I missed for some reason that I can't figure out what I was doing that summer instead, but I didn't do it that summer. But yes, it's my not reviews of the fall, new fall TV shows. I try to keep the little blurbs that I write to under 300 words because otherwise people might not be able to distinguish them from the reviews already in September,
right.
October. But yeah, so it's the process of pre-TCA press tour, going through my pilots and just getting down my initial impressions.
Okay. I have to say that, I'm a regular viewer of Big Brother. Did you watch Big Brother last night?
I did.
This whole battle back thing, because I'm so glad Cody's out of the house, but this whole battle back thing makes
like that when they do it. I hate it. So much.
Oh my God! I just and now here's a question for you, Dan, as a viewer of Big Brother, would Christmas, who voted from her hospital bed because she had to have surgery on her broken foot, voted to vote out Ramses? Now was she
no
on
clue.
Was she on meds? What?
The only question is if Jessica somehow swayed her, if that conversation that she had with Jessica somehow gave her the idea. No, made no sense. I couldn't figure out what was happening with that vote. And then it was this comical thing where you had Cody talking to Julie Chen and talking about all the things that weren't fair about the temptation, den of temptation, all of that, and all the advantages they gave
right,
Paul,
right.
And then Julie's like, well, what if we gave you a chance to come back into the game? He's like, yes.
I know. So I'm having a great time, by the way, watching this season. It's a strong season. I'm having a great time.
I can't deal with Josh. Josh
makes me
so
nuts.
Nervous and uncomfortable.
He makes me nuts. He makes me nuts. Oh, my God.
No, if they could find some way to get rid of him, I would even deal with how scary and vaguely psychopathic Cody is, having him back in the house to not have to deal with how scary Josh is.
Oh, I totally agree with you, man. I totally agree with you. For a while, he seemed like this year's Hosea. But he's
worse.
He is worse. He's in the same vein, but he's worse.
Yeah, he concerns me, and I can't get comfortable when he's in a scene because I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are unpredictable, and I can deal with that. I can't with him, and I'm even more tolerant of the ongoing Christmas puns. Eventually, they have to run out of Christmas puns.
Yeah, yeah, and they play little bell sound effects every time they cut to her, which is not going to be annoying by August 5th at all.
Never.
But speaking of Take Me to the Pilots, unfortunately, as a person who watches Big Brother, every other commercial I have to see a commercial for Young Sheldon, which looks like the worst idea for a television show since Cop Rock. I can't explain what Young Sheldon is.
Young Sheldon is a prequel series to The Big Bang Theory. It's about a young version of the character played by Jim Parsons when he was 9, when he was growing up as a misunderstood and picked on genius in Texas. And they have taken a very, very CBS multicam sitcom with the studio audience, and they decided to do a prequel that's, for some reason, basically an ABC single cam show about one of, you know, if you've watched ABC, you know that they have 5 different versions of shows about mothers, fathers, their 3 kids growing up in random cities in different decades. And this is totally one of those shows that's going to be on CBS. It's confusing. It's not funny. Mm. It's not horrible. I mean, it's not the worst. Trust me, I've already watched many worse pilots than this one this spring, or this summer. It's far from the bottom of the barrel. It's just not, it's hard for me to know how it's going to play because the entire premise of The Big Bang Theory has been that Sheldon Cooper has been this work in progress who his friends and his, in recent seasons, girlfriend have been kind of shaping and adapting into a more normalized, basically, version of the character. And this is going to be the exact same thing when he's 9, and it's going to presuppose that everything he learns in the course of this show, he's going to unlearn at some point.
Right.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Another pilot. Take me to the pilots. I'm really curious about this because I really, really love Craig Robinson and Adam Scott, and it's Ghosted. What was your first impression of that?
My first impression of it is that it shouldn't be this difficult to establish a premise of a show in which Adam Scott and Craig Robinson explore the paranormal.
Mm.
Why do I need more of a premise than literally that? You could have them playing themselves exploring the paranormal, and I would watch it. But the pilot for the show is 22 minutes of giving a really not convincing and needlessly complicated explanation for how they come to be doing this without laughs. They are retooling the pilot. There's been at least one major piece of recasting, and they're thinking about different ways to approach characters, and hopefully they'll add some laughs because there are really no laughs in the pilot at all. It's not painful. It just takes you somewhere, and episode two is going to be the start of the series. But I hope they find a way to make the pilot funnier if they're tinkering.
That's too bad because you got two guys in there that are great. You know,
you wouldn't think it would require any effort to make it funny. And unfortunately, either they're put in too much effort or not enough because they're not funny.
Well, before we get back to the pilots, speaking of a lot of really great people in a show that looks terrible, Friends from College is loaded with people that I love. And it just every time I see a trailer for it, I'm like, this I got a bad vibe about this thing. And I'm not very far off, correct?
It's hard to watch, and my review, if you go to my review on The Hollywood Reporter, is really conflicted because I can give you an explanation for how it is this sophisticated anti-comedy that actually goes all the way in a way that shows like Happy Endings and You're the Worst don't do, where they kind of suggest that the characters are unlikable people who live these insular lives where everyone on the outside looks at them like they're crazy. And you're supposed to go, why do I want to watch these people? But then they always find a way to make you like the characters and want to hang out with them. Well, in this case, it is this insular group of six friends who graduated from Harvard. They're all turning 40 and they're all toxic, and their interactions are toxic, and everyone around them realizes their interactions are toxic, and a lot of it feels intentional. You just find yourself wondering why you'd want to spend time with it, and it's a challenge because I think I can justify a lot of the decisions that are being made for thematic reasons. I just can't justify why anyone would want to spend. It's only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
It's only half hour a piece. So it's only 4 hours you'd be spending with it, but
yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I have a bad feeling. But well, anything Keegan-Michael Key does, I love Colby Smulders. I just really love the cast. So, you know. Let me ask you this. Speaking of things that I saw while watching Big Brother last night, what the hell is this Jeremy Piven thing?
All I will tell you is that my Take Me to the Pilots for that will run some point in the next few days. It's unbearable. I haven't been so angered by a pilot since the Criminal Minds spinoff a year ago.
What's it called?
It is Wisdom of the Crowd.
Right.
And the entire premise of the show is that due process and the legal system are for squares. And if you really want to solve crimes in 2017, you set up Reddit-style community boards and get people to catch the criminals for you or something. It's unbearable.
Okay.
It really caused me pain.
At the end of Big Brother last night, they showed a teaser for it, and I was watching the commercial, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me! What is this? I was just going to say lots of close ups of Piven screaming. That was what you know.
And being so earnest, as if that's the thing that he does best. Is
All right. Well, let's talk about another take me to the pilots. How's The Mayor?
It's not bad. It's another one of those pilots like Ghosted that spends most of its first 22 minutes getting to the point of what the show actually is. And the show is about a an aspiring rapper in a small California town who runs for mayor as a publicity stunt and gets elected and then has to govern. And it's got a, you know, that's a reasonably good premise.
Yeah.
It's a reasonably good cast. Yvette Nicole Brown in particular, who was always so great on Community and is very good here. And Lea Michele, who I think a lot of people dislike for various Glee-related reasons, but was really fairly consistently funny on Scream Queens, I would say.
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah.
But I don't think they figured out quite how to make her funny here. But it's a show with potential, and it's the kind of show that ABC knows how to do reasonably well.
Okay.
So I think it has potential. I wouldn't say everyone has to watch it because it's great out of the box, but I found myself curious.
Take Me to the Pilots will continue, correct, Dan?
It will definitely continue. I will try to do probably 7 or 8 or 9 more before Press Tour starts in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So,
wow. Okay.
So many pilots.
All right, and then you can follow. You can check them all out. Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print FIEN. Now, before I let you go, I have to say I watched Tour de Pharmacy, and I agree with you that it is hit or miss. But when it hits, oh my God, was it fun! I mean, there were some huge laughs in this. So tell everybody what Tour de Pharmacy is.
It is the sequel of sorts, or the companion film of sorts, to 7 Days in Hell, the Adam Sandberg starring and produced HBO sports parody. And this one is about the 1982 Tour de France, and it's set in two different time periods. It's the bikers from that race, in which most of the racers were on drugs, and the people looking back now 30 years later. And I don't want to spoil any of the casting because it's all just brilliant. All of the, like every bit of casting of the people 30 years apart, I laughed the minute the people came on screen.
Yeah, I don't want to get, I don't want to give it away, but the person playing Andy Samberg, genius.
They're all perfect. Every single one of them.
Yeah, I agree. So it's
it's not perfect, but it hits hard.
It does. It's I laughed really loud during it, and I thought it was pretty damn funny. That's Tour de Pharmacy. It's on HBO. Dan, always a pleasure. You can follow Dan at Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print FIEN, and at The Hollywood Reporter. You and Tim Goodman have a really lively conversation about the Emmy nominations, and you should all check that out. Dan, always a pleasure, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks on a Thursday, and we won't be confused about what day it is.
Whatever day today is. Well, it was always fun, and talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Take care. Dan Feinberg, he's great, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, and he'll be back with us for his normal day on Thursday in a couple of weeks. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.